All right, we're letting everybody come in here for just a sec. Alex and I were just talking about the nuances of left to right versus up to down mirroring on our live streams.
That's right. The most important topic of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we're live. We're at our new at time, same at channel. I wonder, given the relative age of our cohort.
Terrible.
I wish you warned me you were going to say that.
I put it in the description on the that would have been on the Atmo RSVP. And so I'm not sure how many people are going to get that. You and I, though, we weren't there for the first run, but I watched a lot of reruns of the 60s era Batman. So.
Oh, yeah. Most of my personality is Nick at Night. You know, there's nice, no shame in it, right? It's like nobody else my age could do all the Bewitched bits for some reason, right? And that's kept me out of step with my peer group for a long, long time.
Excellent. Well, fantastic. Well, I'll wait for the chat to catch up on our amazing dad humor here.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so we are at a new time, same place, of course, here on Stream Place. And really excited to be here. We decided to kind of switch up the time a little bit, see if we could cast a slightly wider net and grab a few more folks, especially our friends in Europe who were tuning in after a couple of glasses of wine and like after dinner, I think. So hopefully this is a better time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Try to not make Europeans give up their Friday, like, dinner time slot. That's, you know, just about the worst possible time slot I could imagine, honestly. It's like, hey, come to our developer live stream. It's at 9 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And we'd be remiss if we also didn't mention that our colleagues, Paul and Daniel, they did let us out of Paul's trunk. And but they were so kind to take over for last week's episode. Just because of all the excitement happening, I haven't had a chance to edit that one yet, but so it should be going live soon. So last week's episode and this week's episode will be going up on the podcast page. So you'll have lots to listen to. So
I've heard that before. You know, every podcast hobby ever has always been stuck in its tracks by, I haven't had time to edit the last episode yet.
Everyone thinks they want to start a podcast until they have to like do the podcast. It's a lot of work, kids. Don't let your friends get into podcasting. So, but anyway, and also we have, Alex, I think you've gotten some feedback that people never know when to catch us on our live stream here. So we're aiming for this time and day going forward. But if for whatever reason you forget, you can always head to atproto.com/offprotocol and then we'll be right there. Not Ben is asking why the switch to Wednesday. I think we mostly covered it there, but mostly we just want to try to capture a few more folks. If this time isn't working as well, you know, we can be flexible about it. I think end of day Friday was just, I think it was pretty good if you were on the west coast of the United States, maybe a little bit harder if you were literally anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal for people who think of their Fridays as not a fun 16-hour work spree.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, who among us, but exactly. But yeah, very happy with the addition of the schedule widget to atproto.com/offprotocol. So now whenever you're looking at our back episodes, you can also see when our upcoming episode is scheduled for, along with links to StreamPlay, Smoke Signal, and atmo.rsvp. So always love to make the atproto.com and the docs more lexicon native. And this is one more nice little way of pulling in that calendar widget. Because I know you've done a ton of work behind the scenes in the meantime of like bringing up our sort of RSS podcast compliance at the same time, making sure we actually ship all that metadata. And I think that's going to be something that really minimizes friction over time just for subscribing to the show, making sure people know when it's happening and all that good stuff.
Totally. That's another thing. It's just like, we're used to working in this like permissionless structure and then like, but to get listed on Apple and Spotify, like surprisingly, it's a very easy thing, but because we have like a corporate Apple account, getting signed into that. And so anyway, if you can't find us on Apple yet, that's coming real soon. But you mentioned the lexicons. That widget is actually powered by the community event lexicon, which is why it's super easy peasy to be able to reply or to RSVP rather on Spokesignal or atmo.rsvp. So, we'll keep plugging those in, and that should, the automation should just keep plugging away. I've kind of extracted that out, so I'm going to release the code for how that works. So that if you want to add your own, RSVP widget to your own website, you can do that through the power of the protocol. You can build an atmospheric website.
Woo! Good stuff.
It's totally fun. I really have a lot of fun with those. So they're fun little projects to work on. Real quick, I know that that Paul and Daniel talked about this last time, but I just want to do another quick plug for the follow-up from the standard site integration. During the last live stream, we had just released the standard site integration into the app. But I think since that time, we've seen just a ton more people getting in, a lot of people building out their personal websites, their blogs on using standard sites. So that's just been super exciting to see. Do you have any favorites, Alex?
Do I have any favorite standard sites? I mean, I've been a Leaflet diehard since day one. Nice. I probably need to start thinking of like a new answer, honestly, because I'm always like, Leaflet, that's where I write my blogs. But I am a huge Leaflet flan fan. I almost said Leaflet flan? Leaflet flan? It's pronounced flan, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of things that are pronounced a certain way, big fan of pocket.blog as well. PCKT, don't say packet blog.
Oh, absolutely not.
It is not about TCP/IP.
Totally. And, our colleague, Young Samuel there, I'm going to get in trouble with HR if I keep calling him Young Samuel, but he ginned up, I think he was interested in playing around with one of the new Claude models and put together standard.horse. I don't know if you've had a chance to play with that one yet, but it's a way, if you have a blog on a different platform or you just want kind of like a slightly more manual approach to building your blogs, then check out standard.horse. Let me drop that link in the chat here. It's for sickos. Do not encourage Samuel because he'll just do more of these things.
He had done that like a day after we shipped all this. It was just completely bonkers. Yeah,
totally. Little bit of discourse around standard site that was happening as recently as today. Our fearless leader Paul Frazee was doing a little bit of thought leading, and let me grab that link as well. And I think he was kind of jokingly saying, "Don't use a lexicon that doesn't exist." But I think he was also kind of serious about it a little bit too. I think one thing that we've noticed is that people have been using lexicons within their standard site documents that don't actually exist, particularly if they're using Markdown, and so Paul was chiming in a little bit to make sure that folks are taking the time to build out the proper lexicons for building out the documents, and it's kind of an interesting feature of how standard site works, where standard site itself they put together all of the metadata, but for the actual markup for the document itself, that's kind of on you or kind of on your publisher to figure out. And a lot of people just wanted to yeet some markdown in there. And so this is what's been happening.
Yeah, I think this is one of those consequences of the fact that lexicon publication and resolution is dependent on DNS, right? And so if you're like trying to just get off the ground, you want to ship a brand new project, like, probably people get to the step of like, I need to have that domain. And they're like, oh, wait a second. What can I do instead of that? Right.
Yes.
And it turns out we do have a workaround for this that depends on the .internal TLD, which cannot be reserved to use as a lexicon. That is not a documented workaround. And it's something that people have been talking about. It predates us working here. And so it's one of those things that's kind of been known for a while, but isn't really widely established. And so one of the things I want to work on probably in the next week or so is just documenting, if you're getting started in terms of publishing a new lexicon and like, you're at the domain step. You don't want to like pull up GoDaddy and drop $15. Like, what the happy path is there? So totally. You don't wind up publishing to non-existent lexicons. As much as our community likes not being told what to do, being like, yeah, that's right, we'll publish it. What are you going to do? And the answer is break DNS resolution 9 months from now. Like, we'll see what we can do there just to provide more guidance. That's a good thing to have come up.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So we'll provide a little bit more guidance there, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, if people are publishing to a blog, you know, there's no reason that they couldn't, like, presumably they have a domain name. And so if you just are publishing to like your own personal site, then I guess you could kind of invent your own content lexicon and see how far you get with that.
No comment?
Alex was not ready for that one. That sounds like an anti-pattern, maybe. Yeah. Well, we'll keep moving on. You know, regardless, the work with Standard Site is continuing to look pretty great. One thing that I'm pretty excited to see as well is that as more records are being written and published into the network, then that's providing some of this like fertile groundwork for people to build applications on top of it. And I think the kind of first iteration of this is some reader applications. And there was a great one that just launched yesterday, Standard Reader. So I don't know if folks saw that or not, but one thing I like about this, the layout is pretty interesting. It has kind of a newspapery kind of a vibe to it. But the one thing I really like about it is the discovery aspect to it. It turns out there's a bunch of people that I follow on Blue Sky who have Standard Site compliant websites that I wasn't following their blogs or their, their websites. And so the discovery mechanism actually made that really, really easy. And so, this is that kind of like symbiotic relationship between the records and the lexicons and all of the content getting published and then the applications building on top of that. And so I'm super excited to see this happen in a little bit.
It's pretty beautiful stuff too, just actually having that list of like all this long form writing from across the network with everyone's avatar pulled in. You know, we're really starting to deliver on that promise of we can have short form and long form microblogging and regular blogging sit side by side. And I think there's a lot of small media organizations, journalists, people writing on the web who are going to find that the barriers to publishing on the Atmosphere are getting pretty low and the discovery mechanisms are getting pretty good, right? Like, this has really been a great example of closing that loop and actually building out an ecosystem for things that we all kind of understand these formats and these patterns, but like the infrastructure has been nebulous for as long as many of us can remember. And starting to nail it back down again is really starting to feel like the way forward. So that's just super inspiring for me, and I think for all of us. And it's great to see that the ecosystem has responded so well to the Standard Site integration. Like, that feels like, you know, it's a small thing that goes a really long way. And I think we want to see more and more of that this year.
Yeah, exactly. Super. Could not agree more. Really excited to see that. And, you know, we talk with a lot of publishers and folks that are building publishing adjacent kind of applications behind the scenes, and just having this kind of like tangible, the card that exists inside the Blue Sky app is really great. And I think we've mentioned this before, but these kinds of ecosystem integrations are going to be a real focus for the app moving forward. So we would love to hear from all of you about the kind of integrations that you think make sense. Obviously, we're not going to do kind of like a one-off thing. So, you know, what made Standard Site easy and compelling was that, it's this kind of like class of applications. And so we want to kind of continue to figure out, I think, you know, all of the different bookmarking apps are pretty interesting. Figuring out how to embed new and different kinds of content, I think, is pretty interesting pathway there. So look forward to some more of that.
Yeah, especially I think around audio and video, there's conversations we were just having earlier this week, because we have some audio and video integrations into Blue Sky, the app, right now, like being able to flag go live on, you know, Twitch or Screenplace or other Atmosphere projects. There's also the integration that we've done. I believe it's not with Bandcamp, or is it with Bandcamp? And trying to expand that as well. That's not very protocol native right now. That's kind of like Blue Sky, the app standalone. And I think figuring out how we get those use cases closer to the Standard Site use case for publishing rich media will also be like some low hanging fruit for us pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going through the chat here. One bit of feedback we've gotten is they'd love a little bit more interaction with the chat. So we're trying that ahead of here. I did see that Roscoe is suggesting that maybe Easy Lexicon Publishing to something like Mark, which is the kind of protocol native domain registrar. That's actually a pretty interesting idea. So, you know, if your domain is being managed there, then you could, you know, pretty easily publish lexicons through there. That's like that idea, Roscoe, pretty smart. And see if we've got any other questions here. I think, you know, some suggestions for a tangled integration into the Blue Sky feed. That's come up a couple of times as well. So would kind of, I think there's some, especially with what Tangled is doing with what they call them strings, which is kind of their version of a GitHub gist. So ways to kind of display that makes a lot of sense.
Those conversations are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of moving on with the news stuff. Last week, a big focus for me, certainly, as took up a lot of my time last week, very exciting, was we launched the Code TV Web Dev Challenge episode that a few folks that I've seen here on the stream participated in. I hope everybody has had a chance to watch that. If not, I'm going to post the link right here. Watch it. Watch it for the third time. Send it to your friends, family. I think everybody would love to see this one. That was just so fun to do. I think the funness of it really came through. And I cannot say enough good things about working with Code TV and working with that team and Jason and that whole crew. Just, you've done a couple of these, right, Alex? And you know that it's just like top to bottom, just a total professional operation.
Yeah. Again, like speaking,
I'm like us here,
editing, just, right? Like being able to actually shoot more material than you need and edit it down and do makeup, God forbid, and like really make a polished product at the end of the day. It feels great, right? It feels, because I think, you know, in this ecosystem, we're so used to like, well, we got it done and I'm just one person, so that's pretty good. But like doing a real production with a staff, with editing, with lighting, like it feels really nice to be part of something that's that professional and that polished and actually is watchable. You know, you can put it on your TV afterwards. You can show it to your family. You can show it to other devs outside of the ecosystem. And it's a great opportunity just to get visibility and really get some of the cool on protocol stuff front and center. Community. So great work on that. Jim Gunn is, I believe, what we're calling you now. Which, to those of you who are not Project Runway fans, might sound violent. It's not. It's just a nice name for a distinguished gentleman who might be very subtly graying in his attempts to keep everybody on track.
There we I appreciate it so much. I will take that nickname. Absolutely. But it was just super fun. It really did feel like kind of a continuation of what we had going on at AtmosphereConf. I was really happy to kind of see, just see all those folks again, see what folks came up with. You know, Alex, I think you and I both have a little bit of a cobbler's kid situation where like, I don't currently have much of a personal website. I don't know what your personal website situation is, but, any thoughts on building a personal website or rebuilding your personal website right now?
Oh man, that's a great idea. I just have like a regular GitHub Pages thing that I haven't touched for a while. That's like a CV and some side projects, right? Like I think that's what a lot of us are working with. But
I'm paying Netlify $15 a month for zero reasons. What's
out of the problem?
Exactly.
But like the Netlify use case is still one that we talk about quite a bit, right? In terms of sort of customizable profile pages and like what atmospheric homepages can look like. I still think that that's relatively low hanging fruit to have it so that like going to someone's Blue Sky profile page doesn't necessarily go to their Blue Sky profile, but rather goes to like their atmospheric landing page. Totally. And there's a lot of interest in homepages. I mean, you're paying Netlify presumably for some reason, right? Where, you know, like it made sense professionally or something. And I think there's a market there. People want to have a good landing page, professional and otherwise. Like it's something that I think we know there is an audience just the same way there is for standard sites. So we are not forgetting about that particular use case. I think we just want to have time to come back around to it and see what the best options in the community are.
And Flowbit is on the chat there and is promoting Blinto, which I cannot recommend more highly. Love Blinto, love how fun it is, and love the integrations across the ecosystem. And then I also threw a link in there for the CodeTV hackathon that's happening. So if you are interested in rebuilding your personal website sometime between now and next week, then submit that over there. He's got a couple of fun prizes as well, and we're going to be taking a look at what everybody else has built. So, but do please go watch the episode if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. And one thing I'm really excited about this too is it seems to have kind of brought in a whole bunch of like a whole new audience, which I think is pretty awesome and exciting too. Let's see here. So more news from around the ecosystem here. So Alex, I know that you have been, you're kind of our Coop man. So Coop 1.0 launched, super exciting. The Roost team, I absolutely adore. They're not just putting together like just a really critical piece of infrastructure, but they're just all wonderful people. I don't know how they managed to, like, their hiring process is just rock solid. But yeah, so Alex, you know, you've spent a fair bit of time with the Roost folks and with Coop. Tell us a little bit about like what a 1.0 means.
Well, speaking of their pipeline, I want to speak to that first because I'm pretty sure in trust and safety, just the whole like upskilling pipeline is trauma. It's just trauma, because that's the fun part of trust and safety. But then the people who make it through and still want to be in trust and safety and still want to be in open social, like it's true. They're so easy to work with because they're all in it for the right reasons. They really know what problems we're solving here. And I love talking about Coop at conferences or anywhere else I plug the protocol because it is a standalone moderation system that does automatic moderation the same way that our Osprey stack does, also maintained by Roost. And it also does some of the interface, right? Letting moderators make decisions at scale so you aren't delegating all that off to your auto mod system the same way that our Ozone stack does. And since I've come on, you know, trying to fill the gaps in our documentation and making sure that we have a solution that we can recommend to people just scaling up for the first time, there hasn't really been a de facto solution for small teams of one or two or three people who we want to integrate into Blue Sky the app, but who we have to make sure have some kind of moderation stack in place for us to be able to do that. And from the first time I saw it, I've been pretty convinced that Coop is going to be that for most small teams as a default starting out. And I am so psyched they hit 1.0. They got the memory requirements down, which is awesome. That was one of my bugbears. And I know it's one of those things, whenever we're announcing a release, right? It's like, you're not going to be like, hey, we fixed this thing that was pretty bad 6 months ago that you probably weren't aware of, right? And so I have a lot of DevRel empathy for like, you can't make that a banner feature because like it sort of like presumes familiarity in a negative way, but it's true. Like that was one of the things I thought that was keeping them from being able to just recommend it out of the gate that like it's going to run on non-OVH 16 gig boxes all of a sudden, which is a big, big deal for people who just need to be able to ship it and get started. So the dev requirements are down. They're at 1.0. They are putting a lot of open models out into the ecosystem that are theoretically pluggable. And I really want to take some time later on this month to start building out just some end-to-end integrations for like what Coop looks like. If you have my -new-@proto, you know, app.social, like showing what it looks like to get started right out of the gate to wire it up and start having a reliable trust and safety stack that can be run by just a couple of people. So big, big, big achievement. I'm going to be spending a lot of time with it, I think, over the next several weeks, but just so psyched for them to hit 1.0.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that point about smaller teams and new apps now having a solution, because when you're running a Blue Sky scale, obviously we have a whole trust and safety organization and engineers and things like that. But if you're just starting up something new and you want to be a responsible app on the social internet here in 2026, then having some kind of trust and safety infrastructure, and it really does feel like Coop is going to be a good entry point there, which is fantastic.
Yeah, great stuff.
Let's move to Eurosky. We've got our new time and for our European audiences. And so Eurosky has just been like totally cooking. They released a PLC replica yesterday. They've got a relay that came out today. There's something coming at some point in the future, I think. I remember it was 9-6, 9-6, 10-6, and 11-6.
9-6, 10-6, and 11-6. So as an American, I was like, why are we waiting until September to announce these new features? This doesn't make any sense. Help me, day, month, year parsing. You're my only hope. But it turns out those are all three consecutive days in June. So that's great to find out. I know, right? Month, day, year. It's so much more intuitive because how it does not go in any prescribed order, right? Like you would think. But no.
I'm a strict ISO fan where I want year, month, day. But, you know, you do you, Europe.
I feel like ISO exists so that neither side has to admit the other is right. You know, like the scientists were on that. They were like, look, we understand you're both wrong. And here's how we can, you know, like no hard feelings.
This is how we'll do it on Mars.
But no, they've announced a PLC replica, which is fantastic. That is a really nice piece of autonomous infrastructure. And I know like PLC replica is one of those things that doesn't have a lot of everyday utility right now, but is super important to proving out decentralization and autonomy. And so really, really happy to see them go in that direction. They also have their own relay. And we'll see what day three is on, when is that? November 6th.
I think it's going to be a mud client myself. I think they're really going to try to bring back these, the interactive Dundon style. I know I see that Lorenz Hoff is online. So I imagine he's really been pushing for a mud client. So, fingers crossed.
All right. Well, there is something mud client related in the pipeline right now. I was last time we were doing the stream, one of the reasons I wasn't able to make it is because I was in Toronto for Toronto Tech Week, some events that we were doing with Gander Social, who are doing a great job in Canada on their own app protocol ecosystem. And while I was there, I had the chance to meet with community member RPG.actor. And we have a guest blog post coming up tomorrow that we worked on together, talking about all the really cool functionality that RPG Actor's been building. And so if you're looking forward to having some on-protocol MUDs, that'll be a really good place to start.
I've really loved seeing everybody's sprites coming across the network, too. That's a pretty fun builder. That I'm not one of those. I'm not a gamer at all. It was still fun for me to get in and kind of build up my little avatar. So,
yeah. Well, we all know that charisma would be your dump stat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, a little bit more news here. I do want to kind of highlight some of the work that our colleague Daniel Holmgren is doing on the permission data. He's just been like, so Daniel's our head of protocol, and he talked a little bit about some of the work he was doing last week on the stream. But since then, he's kind of put out he's been writing these diary posts on his Leaflet blog. And so I'll throw in a couple of his latest there. But then he's also been really active on the Discourse forum. And we've actually gotten some really good feedback, some of which is really going into making sure that the protocol is better. I think, you know, one of the ideas that we had internally was about like, how should the permission space keep a list of people who have access to it? We actually got some really great feedback from folks in the community. I just want to personally encourage everybody who's listening and watching right now, if you have thoughts or feedback, even if you don't necessarily consider yourself, like if you're maybe a little bit higher in the stack in terms of your developments and, offer up your ideas, your thoughts, your suggestions, your pain points. What are the things that you want to see from the permission data piece? And Daniel is listening. The rest of the team is listening. Alex and I are listening. We want to try to figure out, you know, the work that we're going to be doing is going to be spending up a little bit later this summer, trying to get some more sample code and, you know, kind of showing what the application side of things will look like. But, this is the time. If you have thoughts on how permission data should work, then by all means, go ahead and give that to us, because now's the time to get it in there.
Yeah, there's definitely a risk of feeling two heads down on this. Like, I think, and it's interesting because Daniel's doing so much writing in public to try to help nail these specs down at the same time, but it just becomes a lot, right? And like reading somebody else's giant long spec docs is something that We are very lucky in this community. We have people who do engage at that level, but I think it's still hard just to prove out, you know, like, here's how it might look. And then 2 months later, we've got the spec locked in and we're already trying to build out integration patterns, which is something I'm really looking forward to, right? Like, that's going to be my August, apparently, and I can't wait. But I do want to make sure that the consultation window we have right now, like, doesn't go unheeded, because this is the critical time for getting that all locked down.
Yeah, exactly. So, and seeing some love here in the chat for Daniel. So really appreciate that. A couple of other bits of news here. So, little bit of meta news here at StreamPlace. So Eli and the crew launched a VOD closed beta. So really looking forward to the VOD work. I know that there was the VOD jam that happened after AtmosphereConf. And so I think Eli took a lot of the feedback, speaking of getting that community feedback, and turned that into the next recommendations for how they want to do VODs here at StreamPlace. So take a look at the suggestions and the recommendations that are coming down from Eli for how we're going to do video on demand. But yeah, super excited about everything that's happening at StreamPlace. I'm loving seeing that there's a little bit more. You and I were just talking, Ed Niedermeyer, who I think is probably the biggest Elon hater maybe on the earth.
That is saying something. I didn't enter those Olympics myself, if I can.
Yeah.
Like, they have my sword.
He's now written a second book about what a trash fire the empire around Elon is, just in time for the SpaceX IPO. But he's been doing some live streams about that. But I always love, you know, as like, I'm sure you remember, like, when social media was first happening, or when blogging was first happening, the only thing where people were talking about was like, check out my new blog or check out my social media account. And I always love when those things kind of break containment. And so it's really exciting to see new folks coming in and using these tools. So just big ups to StreamPlace and to everything that's going on there, and really looking forward to seeing VODs happen.
Yeah. I was talking to Eli just on Monday about this. And like, one thing that struck me is that they have had such a presence at so many of the Atmosphere community events we've done, like, and our big, you know, full fat conference, right? Where like, StreamPlace isn't just the place that hosts the streams and like a really cool atmospheric implementation. It's also like our de facto like video services shop that we go to so often in this community. And
yeah, totally.
I don't know. I think there might be some pretty cool opportunities for like vertical integration there at the same time as we're building out an open standard. Like, I just think it's cool that like the people who are there filming the talks that we're giving are the exact same people who are wiring up the streams and offering VOD. Like, I can't think of another pattern that works like that in the current industry. Like, that is actually very unique in this ecosystem. And so it's something I think they deserve a ton of credit for. And I think being able to have all those end-to-end services at the same time as, you know, you're advocating for more broad and open use, like, that's a really nice kind of like commercial open sourcey dichotomy, right? Where it's like, you know, the only part that's being commercialized is just physically having to be there and do the work of, you know, like getting audio right. But then at the same time, we all get the benefit and this open standard goes out into the ecosystem. So I think it's a cool piece. I really do. And I always like to point out the things that are just totally unique about the way we're doing this still.
Yeah. I completely agree. And you mentioned the community and the way that Eli and the StreamPlace team are showing up to all the different community events. So I dropped a link into the atmosphere.community events page. So if you run an event, then, you know, get your thing on there. I think right now it requires a PR. So if you need a hand with that, let us know and we'll be happy to help that. We don't run the Atmosphere community. That comes out of from the same folks that ran the Atmosphere Conf. And but you know, we're happy to help get folks on there. I've just been super excited to see all of the local events that have been happening. And so that's been super great. Let's see here. I think we're running close to, oh, you know, one other bit of news, just a little bit of news from as a kind of a product announcement here. We put together, this has been, it took us too long to get this together. And it was all my fault. But we wanted to put some tools together to kind of help people with their, figure out this OAuth scopes issue, especially, you know, the transition from the transition OAuth scopes into the kind of more granular scopes. Yeah. And so we put together a little scope builder widget. So we finally made that live. Really excited to get that out there. The response has been super great to that too. So if you have questions about your OAuth scopes or just need a hand to like, which one should I even use? Go ahead and throw those in there. I was really excited when I started building that like almost 2 months ago now. There were like two or three apps that had, you know, specified some scopes, and I went back through this week and there are, I think, at least a dozen or so that are specifying some permission scopes. And so there's a whole bunch in there. Feel free to kind of look at those as examples. Or you can even, you know, if you've got an app that's, you know, requesting lexicons from a few different other ecosystem apps, then, you know, you can build out your scope string from that.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice, I'm going to give us some credit for this, like DevRel success story, where we go from just a general perception in the community that like OAuth is hard, that like we landed it, but, you know, we landed it and then we kind of left it up to this time. Making incremental improvements, like sort of refining the docs, building out that widget, just doing all we can to put those building blocks in place to, A, just make people's lives easier, and B, just to gradually take down that perception that, like, this is not a fun thing to have to build around. Like, I'm really happy with just the work you and I have done together over the last few months just to chip away at that. And okay. I'm very happy with the state that our OAuth docs are now in, which is saying a lot, because it was one of those things I remember being like, well, nobody likes talking about OAuth. And I think we got there in a pretty serious way.
Speaking, not that we about, like talking about OAuth, but
no, I know it's still boring, but like now it's like good boring, right? It's like, you know, your first cup of tea in the morning. That's boring, yeah. But it's delicious. Yeah. The tea plug, by the way, was to make up for not being able to parse European dates. But one more docs point I wanted to make real quick is that finally given the Blue Sky dedicated docs some love. So docs.bsky.app has been kind of a more or less maintenance mode for the last 6 months, that we've been doing so much more work on the app proto side of the shop. And we've got a bunch of improvements coming up there pretty soon. I don't want to give all of them away, but in the short term, I think I have a drop-in replacement for that HTTP reference docs blob in DocuSaurus that doesn't really fit the sidebar and just offers an open API bridge, but not a very nice one. I've got a drop-in replacement for that coming hopefully tomorrow. And that'll be the first of a few big pushes to make the Blue Sky docs, A, better integrate with appproto.com, and B, less outdated with respect to SDKs and whatnot. So look forward to that coming soon too.
Yeah, that's been a fun project. And so I'm super excited to see those get out there. Good. All right. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers the news. We had a couple of questions come through. I've been trying to respond in line here, but we're right at the 40-minute mark. So I think this is going pretty well. Do let us know about the new time. I think we're gonna try this one for at least a few sessions to see how it works, and we'll kind of look for the feedback. I know that it's kind of during the workday. Maybe you'll get to listen to this one on your lunch hour if you're in the States. And then we'll be throwing these on the podcast feed as soon as I can get them edited.
That sounds promising.
All right. Let's see here. Not seeing any new questions. Oh, you know what? So Vic Walker, thank you so much for Cosmic just last night for the symbol. Has a new API. And I forgot to add this on our list of news, but I'm pretty interested in this because I want to say this is one of the first apps that is, rather than just relying on kind of the native nouns and verbs that you get with the protocol, they're building a specific API. And so they're handling things like auth. You can go in, you sign in with your symbol account, and then you get an API token, and then you use that API token to, do all of the same things that you could, I guess, maybe in theory do with your app proto account. So I haven't really had a chance to dig into that one too much, but I'm actually really excited to see what Symbol's doing here. And, you know, Symbol's such a great, it's one of my, I was talking about this a little bit this morning, but kind of one of my favorite examples of an app that is what I kind of feel like this whole internet thing is really all about, which is to help people make sense of the world that we live in. And Symbol is such a kind of great example of that. So I think the API is going to be great. Love that team over there. And so, you know, looking forward to seeing what comes out of that.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Well, I think that's going to be it for us. So another one in the books. We'll see y'all in a couple of weeks. And yeah, thanks again.
Till next time.
Sounds good. Bye.